Oral questions by members.
Leader of the official opposition.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, the treatment of the former senior NDP cabinet minister by this premier, his cabinet, and caucus has shown a stark and disturbing double standard. This is not just a failure of leadership. It has sent a chilling message that anti-Semitism is tolerated in BC's NDP government. The hypocrisy is glaring, with many NDP members across the way protected by this premier despite a litany of anti-Semitic comments that have been made over the years. Which is why, when it comes to anti-Semitism, the premier cannot investigate himself. This issue demands genuine accountability and equally a thorough independent investigation, as was done when Indigenous patients complained about racism in the healthcare system. So my question to the Premier, instead of pretending that the Premier can investigate himself, will the Premier now finally call for a full independent review into the anti-Semitism within his cabinet and caucus, yes or no?
Members, before I recognize the House Leader on the government side, generally speaking, as all members know, the question period is about ministerial responsibilities. So if it's asking a question how to keep the government responsible and ask a question, you know, that's what we should be focusing on. But I'll allow the question and the government House Leader can answer if he wish to. Government House Leader.
Thank you so much, Honourable Speaker. I appreciate the question from the member. I think all members in this House can agree that hate and anti-Semitism has no place in British Columbia. We know since October 7th that many people in British Columbia, from the Jewish community in particular, are feeling a real sense of fear. And we have heard from many members within our community that they're seeing a rise in anti-Semitism within the community. That's why we have to work together, all of us in this House, to address this head on. We've been taking important steps, such as ensuring that there's new policies in place so that we can prosecute hate crimes. We've been increasing Holocaust education in our schools, Honourable Speaker. We know there's a lot more work to do. We're committed to continue to work with everyone in this House to address the challenges that British Columbians are facing.
Leader of the Official Opposition, supplemental.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. This goes to the very core of the Premier's responsibility as leader of this government. Even the Premier, Mr. Speaker, was forced to acknowledge that systemic anti-Semitism is rampant in everywhere from our schools to the provincial public service. But when it's within his own NDP, suddenly he ignores and dismisses the evidence of this anti-Semitism. That is not principled leadership, that is cowardice. The central premise of the concerns raised by the former finance minister is that there is systemic anti-Semitism in this NDP caucus and government. Yet we see gaslighting from a cowardly premier who insists on asking British Columbians to trust him to investigate himself and his NDP colleagues.
My
question to the Premier is, when will the Premier acknowledge he cannot investigate himself and commit to a comprehensive, independent review of his own NDP cabinet, caucus, and party?
Member will withdraw the remark he attributed to the Premier. Calling cowardly is not acceptable.
Mr. Speaker, for the purpose of this question period, I will withdraw cowardly, but I want to be clear, Mr. Speaker, that's how I view the behaviour of the Premier.
Members, the chair will decide. Thank you, member. House Leader.
Thank you, Honourable Speaker. This last Friday, the Premier met with leaders within the Jewish community, some leaders of the Jewish community, to talk about how we can work together to ensure that we're addressing any anti-Semitism or racism within our communities. My understanding is that conversation was a difficult conversation, given that many people in the Jewish community, since October 7th in particular, have been seeing a rise of anti-Semitism within their communities. In that meeting, the Premier committed to the leaders that we would continue to do the work to address anti-Semitism and address racism in our communities. Many of the leaders, I think, would acknowledge that the steps we've taken to make it easier for prosecutions for hate crimes, education when it comes to Holocaust, all of these things are important measures, but we know there's always more opportunities to do more. We're committed to doing that on this side of the House. I know all members would like to see the same thing happen across the province.
Opposition House Leader, second supplemental.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Well, Mr. Speaker, the problem is the Premier's claim of tackling anti-Semitism in the provincial public service rings awfully hollow, especially when we look at his own actions. Let's look at the Premier's choice for Assistant Deputy Minister for Anti-Racism, a person who is actually tasked with leading the anti-Semitism efforts. He handpicked a former top political aide known for her history of public anti-Semitic rhetoric, including blaming Jews for costing her her dream job at the United Nations and expressing regularly anti-Semitic stereotypes about Jewish influence. In fact, just 4 days after the horrific, brutal attack by Hamas on October the 7th, this NDP-appointed Assistant Deputy Minister chose to amplify content online from the Al-Mazan Center, notorious for its vehement anti-Israeli rhetoric and links to the terrorist organization Hamas. So my question is this: will the Premier at least do the right thing and fire his hand-picked point person for anti-racism and call for an independent review into the anti-Semitism in his own cabinet, caucus, and party?
Attorney General.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I want to make it really clear that hate and anti-Semitism have no place in this province, anywhere in this province. The Deputy Minister to the Premier sent a message out to the public service recently very clearly saying that if you hear something, if you see something, if something is happening that's anti-Semitic in the public service, to speak up. I know that the public service has protocols in place to deal with concerns of this nature that are raised, and I'm confident that they'll be followed in every case. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Opposition House Leader.
Well, Mr. Speaker, the Attorney General has just made the statement that hate and anti-Semitism has no place in British Columbia. I would suggest that that statement should also apply to the NDP's caucus, NDP's party. That's the piece that's missing here. And the fact is, the Premier's choice for ADM for anti-racism, Heike Chima, openly blamed Jews for denying her dream job at the, for being denied her dream job at the United Nations. She has also promoted dangerous anti-Semitic tropes, alleging that the Jewish lobby is the most influential force globally. This is the Premier's former handpicked political advisor, whom the Premier chose to lead anti-racism work in the provincial public service. Now, the Premier can't expect any trust or cooperation from the Jewish community with this political appointee leading anti-racism efforts within the NDP government. Mr. Speaker, the only way forward is for the Premier to fire this political appointee and call a full independent review. Will he do so today?
Attorney General.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I know that the public service has protocols in place for if there is anti-Semitism and hate going on in the minister, that they will put those protocols in place to respond appropriately. And I know for sure that the Deputy Minister of the head of the public service sent a clear message to all of the public service recently to make sure that they know if they hear or see something that they report it. Mr. Speaker, it is important that we take direct actions to combat anti-Semitism in this province, and that's why we've updated the provincial policing standard to support investigations when it comes to hate crimes. The new BC Prosecution Service hate crime policy includes the willful promotion of anti-Semitism. We've made security funding available for synagogues and other organizations to make sure, I want everybody to know the applications are open for them to apply, to make sure they are safe when they are practicing their religion and their places of worship. We've made it mandatory for Holocaust education in all schools, the first province in Canada to do so. We are launching a racist incident helpline, so those people that don't feel comfortable going to the police can go somewhere to report what's happening so we can get to the bottom of it. Mr. Speaker, we know we're at the beginning of this and we have a lot of work to do, and we'll keep at it.
Opposition House Leader, supplemental.
Well, Mr. Speaker, we're shining a bright light on the ADM for anti-racism in the government. We're reporting that to the Attorney General. I just walked the Attorney General through several examples, specific tangible examples that reflect anti-Semitic beliefs by the ADM for anti-racism, presumably the individual that is charged on behalf of the Premier of British Columbia with the responsibility for advising cabinet and government about anti-racism initiatives in this province. Mr. Speaker, there's been a 62% increase in anti-Semitic hate incidents across British Columbia. That is shocking in and of itself. But it's also shocking that the Premier, who's in political damage control mode, is desperately sweeping anti-Semitism in his NDP caucus, party, and the government under the rug. Now, the bright light on this was shone on the NDP's anti-Semitism was shone on this by the former finance minister who had previously been the lead minister on this file. And to quote the former finance minister's letter to the NDP caucus, and I quote, "It would appear to me that you haven't been paying attention, or you don't know what anti-Semitism is, or what Jew hatred looks like," end quote. So my question to the Premier is this. Does the Premier think that denying the Jewish people their right to self-determination, for example, by claiming that the existence of a state of Israel is a racist endeavor, counts as anti-Semitism?
Government House Leader.
Thank you, Honourable Speaker, and of course it does. We know in this House, I think everyone can agree, that since the incident on October 7th, there's a lot of fear in our communities. We know, we've been hearing that from our community members all the time, that there's a real fear for their communities. There's folks in the Jewish community who feel there's a sense of anti-Semitism, the rise that's happening in their communities. We are committed to taking action on that, Honourable Speaker. I think members will also know that there's a real sense of desire for peace across the world. And I think that that voice is important in this as well, Honourable Speaker. Now, we can have this exchange for the entire 30 minutes. But what I want to make sure the members across the way know is that we're committed to this. Many of my colleagues, we got into this work because we wanted to address inequalities in our societies, because we wanted to address racism in our communities. We will continue, just like everyone else, I hope, be committed to continue to learn, continue to grow, and continue to support our communities through any challenges that they may face.
House Leader of the Third Party.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Speaker. Paid ads like, quote, BC LNG will reduce global emissions are ubiquitous on social media, buses, highway billboards across the province. But fracked gas is a fossil fuel, like coal and oil, and it's exacerbating, not solving the climate crisis, Mr. Speaker. It's killing 34,000 Canadians each year, according to the Canadian Association of Physicians for the Environment. Just as we moved to ban harmful tobacco advertising in the past, it's time to ban misleading and deceptive fossil fuel ads today. The federal NDP understands this, Mr. Speaker. Last month, NDP MP Charlie Angus tabled legislation to prohibit fossil fuel advertising, stating, "We need to put human health ahead of the lies of the oil sector." Meanwhile, in BC, photos and quotes from the Premier and the Minister of Energy and Mines are adorned in these LNG ads. This government silence makes them complicit. My question is to the Premier, will this government ban misleading fossil fuel advertising in our province?
Minister of Environment.
Thank you very much, Honourable Speaker, and I appreciate the member's passion for taking action to reduce emissions and the question. But the fact remains that we have a robust climate plan. We're committed to implementing all of the various pathways in the plan, including dealing with emissions from the oil and gas sector and ensuring that we communicate to the public about what a low-carbon future looks like as we transition to clean energy. That's where our focus is.
House Leader, third party supplemental.
Mr. Speaker, when Richard Blanchard, our first governor, appeared on the shores of our province, he found British Columbia to be a company town, Mr. Speaker. And from the minister's response, it's very clear that we still are acting like that very same resource colony company town, Mr. Speaker. The fossil fuel lobby is driving a false advertising campaign in our province, and this Minister of the Environment seems to be okay with it. These false ads create confusion. They distort public opinion at critical points in efforts to combat the climate crisis. The government has a responsibility to protect the public from misinformation and disinformation, Mr. Speaker. We have a responsibility to ensure key facts are presented accurately. France, the UK, other jurisdictions, well, they've banned this greenwashing. So my question is to the Minister of Public Safety, the actual minister responsible for business practices and the Consumer Protection Act. Will he follow the lead of his federal colleague, Charlie Angus, and will he commit to amending the Act to prohibit dangerous and irresponsible greenwashing advertising, Mr. Speaker?
Minister.
Thank you very much, Honourable Speaker. And to the member, I'll simply say again, the best way to present a case for a low-carbon, clean energy future is to present the case as government, to talk about what we're doing, and to put facts out. If the member believes that some people are putting out misinformation, the best thing the government can do is put out accurate information, talk about what we're doing, talk about all the benefits of a clean energy future, and ensure that British Columbians understand that.
Members, House Leader of the Fourth Party.
Thank you very much, Mr. Speaker. You know, this NDP Premier has had a historic first year. He's the first Premier in modern history in Canada to have a Jewish MLA resign from his party because of anti-Semitism. Under his leadership, BC is facing a crisis as pedophiles, violent repeat offenders, and gangs thrive under his NDP's soft-on-crime approach. His NDP safe supply drugs are being sold by gangs. The secret deal he cut with FIFA is becoming a scandal. And economists have called his broken, bloated budget as an abject failure. And he's had to reverse his plans to put an NDP drug use site in Richmond. But, Mr. Speaker, today I want to have a throwback to the NDP Premier's original scandal, the NDP's botched Surrey policing crisis. Mr. Speaker, my question to the Premier, Surrey is now being asked to accept an additional payment of $110 million to make this NDP scandal go away. Does this NDP Premier think that it's fair that BC taxpayers are yet once again being asked to pay the bill to clean up his mess?
Minister of Public Safety and Solicitor General.
Thank you, Honourable Speaker. And I'll just say this to the Honourable Member. A couple of things. First off, on so much as usual, you are off base, in fact, almost out to lunch. Our Premier is doing an amazing job, In fact, I see today, despite the, you know, the questions and the rhetoric from the Honourable Member, our Premier is one of the most popular Premiers in the entire country, Honourable Speaker. You know, and I can see you're obviously jealous with envy over that, Honourable Speaker. But I'll just say this, the transition continues to go ahead. The law of the province of British Columbia is that the City of Surrey will be policed by the Surrey Police Service, and my staff work with the City of Surrey and the Federal RCMP and the Surrey RCMP to make sure that that will continue and that that is going to happen.
Members, all members, be careful using certain words when we are asking questions and answering, please. Member, supplemental.
Thank you very much, Mr. Speaker. And yet once again, I didn't hear an answer about the $110 million, but I have a different question. Have substantial consultations been done with Surrey's First Nations to get their input on the latest proposal this NDP government has put forward to try and make the NDP Surrey policing crisis go away?
Minister.
Thank you, Honourable Speaker. What I'm happy to tell the member is since the very beginning, the First Nations in Surrey have been part and parcel of the process. In fact, the chief of Semiahmoo, who was on the police board, When we put in the administrator, one of the issues that that I made clear was that that consultation had to continue on a regular basis, Honourable Speaker. So that is very much part and parcel of what's required in terms of the transition, which is well underway, continues, and is the law of the province of British Columbia.
Member for Surrey South.
Thank you, Honourable Speaker. Under this premier, so-called safe supply drugs are fueling taxpayer-funded drug trafficking, more addiction, and a public safety crisis. In Prince George, RCMP found highly addictive taxpayer-funded drugs in the hands of criminals, intended to wreak havoc on our streets and inevitably fuel more addiction. Corporal Jennifer Cooper of the RCMP warns, quote, "We've noted an alarming trend. Prescription drugs from safe supply are being used as a form of currency by organized crime," end quote. Given the undeniable link between safe supply and organized crime, when will the Premier stop turning a blind eye and end the NDP's taxpayer-funded drug trafficking?
Minister of Public Safety and Solicitor General.
Thank you, Honourable Speaker, and I appreciate the member's question. And what I can tell the member is that the police are doing their job every day, fighting gangs and their involvement in organized crime, in particular as it relates to drug trafficking. I'm aware of the statement that the member made. I'm also aware of a story that was out in the media. And what I can tell you, Honourable Speaker, with discussions with the RCMP, that they, as they said this morning, their police have no evidence to suggest that there is widespread diversion of safe supply drugs in the province of British Columbia. That's from the commanding officer of the RCMP member. You may shake your head, you may roll your eyes, but I will take that information rather than an opposition any day. So, Honourable Speaker.
Members, please.
Honourable Speaker, thank you. What I will also say is this, Honourable Speaker. We know that many of the drugs that were listed in that press release or that have been talked about are in fact not part of the Safe Supply Program, Honourable Speaker. Not part of the Safe Supply Program, which again is why I will take the advice and the comments from the head of the RCMP in our province that there is no evidence to suggest that there is widespread diversion of safe supply drugs in our province.
Surrey South supplemental.
Thank you, Honourable Speaker. Honourable Speaker, it's multiple police news releases now that they do have evidence that there is safe supply being found by the police. And in fact, in our Chief Public Health Officer's most recent report on February 1st, it refers to the diversion of safe supply as common. The reality is that following the Prince George revelation, Alberta's Premier called for an emergency meeting to halt the BC NDP's taxpayer-funded drug trafficking. This Premier responded by dismissing it on Friday, saying, quote, "It's not actually possible for that to be true," end quote. But it is true. Not only in Prince George, but in Campbell River, Honourable Speaker, where there was a shocking seizure of 3,500 highly addictive hydromorphone pills with police evidence linking it directly to the NDP's so-called safe supply. Constable Murray Tier's findings are damning, and I quote, "Evidence suggests these pills have been diverted from safe supply prescriptions," end quote. With the alarm raised by law enforcement across BC, will the Premier finally cut off the NDP's taxpayer-funded drug trafficking?
Minister.
Thank you, Honourable Speaker. And again, I listen to the opposition, and the member goes, multiple reports. The reality, it was two press releases. And again, what I can tell the member, according to the RCMP, the head of the RCMP in our province of British Columbia, contrary to media reports, not all the drugs seized in Prince George and Campbell River are diverted safe supply. So when the member stands up and makes his claim that
Members.
And the police have also said there is no evidence to suggest that there is wide diversion of safe supply drugs in the province of British Columbia. The member will also know that many of the drugs outlined in the thing are not part of the safe supply program, Honourable Speaker. And so, Honourable Speaker, the police continue to do their work. to arrest and interdict drug traffickers in the province, going after them, and to ensure that that they have the tools that they need to continue that work. And so, Honourable Speaker, that's what's happening in BC and continues to happen. And I would say that when the member quotes the Premier of Alberta, I think it behooves the Premier of Alberta to do a little more research rather than respond to a single press release and suddenly demand saying that there are, you know, that all of a sudden everything is falling in Alberta. The reality is, as I've said a moment ago, the police have said and made it clear there is no evidence to suggest that there is widespread diversion of safe supply drugs in the province of British Columbia.
Member for Prince George, Wailmount.
Well, I'll be very interested to see what the Solicitor General of British Columbia has to say to hardworking police officers who are making reports and are saying to this government, it is time to pay attention. It's not the words of the opposition. Let me give the Solicitor General an example. Now, there is further confirmation from the police. Corporal Scott Cundy, by the way, for the Solicitor General's information, he is a senior investigator with the Prince George RCMP, but according to the Solicitor General, apparently he's just making it up. Here's what he had to say. We are getting multi-kilo seizures of illicit cocaine, fentanyl, and methamphetamine. And safe supply has been present in every investigation that we have done, end quote. This, and to hear the Solicitor General of British Columbia undermine hardworking police officers like Corporal Cundy, shame on him.
Shame.
It is time this government stood up, accepted responsibility for the absolute evidence that there is diversion taking place. How long will the Solicitor General continue to ignore that?
Solicitor General.
Thank you, Honourable Speaker. Well, I can tell that member right now, nobody on this side works to undermine the police, Honourable Speaker, in everything that we do. Honourable Speaker, that member on that side of the House just read out a list of drugs, cocaine and other drugs, Honourable Speaker, none of which are part of safe supply, Honourable Speaker. Not one.
Members will come to order. Members, please. Solicitor General.
Thank you, Honourable Speaker. We have made it clear that police are going to do the job that they are doing, which is to go after those who would prey on the most vulnerable, those drug traffickers who want to profit off those who suffer from a health addiction, Honourable Speaker, and they will continue to do that. Every day, Honourable Speaker, we listen to this opposition going about the number of people dying from the toxic drug crisis. This side of the House has listened to medical health experts and the experts in both police and the mental health and addictions community to put in place programs to assist and reduce those drug deaths, Honourable Speaker, and we will continue to do that. We will continue to do that, Honourable Speaker, and part and parcel of that is ensuring the police have the tools that, to do the job that they need, Honourable Speaker, and that's exactly what we're going to continue to do.
Member for Prince George, Wailmount, supplemental.
Well, thank you very much to the Solicitor General, and I'll take the words of Corporal Scott Cundy, who said, and I quote, safe supply has been present in every investigation we've done, end quote. Those are the words of a well-respected senior investigator in the RCMP, and the Solicitor General basically just said he doesn't know what he's talking about. I'll take his words any day over the Solicitor General. General said that he wants to take the advice of healthcare professionals about the opioid crisis. Well, how about this one? The last report of the provincial health officer, and I think that the Solicitor General will be well familiar with her, page 27 of her last report said, here's her words, and I quote, diversion of safe supply hydromorphone is identified as a common occurrence, end quote. Well, there's a healthcare professional that the Solicitor General might want to listen to. There is no more room for denial.
highly addictive, taxpayer-funded drugs are being diverted. The police say so, the provincial health officer says so, medical health experts say so. The only person that doesn't say so is the Premier of British Columbia. Exactly. How about he stands up today and takes responsibility and does something to end the supply that is being diverted?
Solicitor General.
Thank you, Honourable Speaker. And I'll start off by referencing a comment you just made, Honourable Speaker. How dare you twist my words to say that the member doesn't know what the police officer doesn't know what they're talking about. How dare you, Honourable Member? But you know what, Honourable Speaker? That is exactly the kind of approach.
Members. Members. Members, calm down. Members. Please, calm down. Minister, through the chair, please. Members.
Thank you, Honourable Speaker. The member across the way mentioned about people dying. Exactly. That's why this government has put in place programs and initiatives to ensure that we're dealing with that, Honourable Speaker.
Members.
Initiatives, Honourable Speaker. Initiatives, Honourable Speaker, which that side of the House supported, Honourable Speaker. Now, all of a sudden, because the Conservative Party takes a different view, they want to change their position.
Members. 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 Please. It's almost over.
As I said, Honourable Speaker, they supported the initiatives that this side of the House had taken, Honourable Speaker, until the Conservative Party changed their position. What I can tell you, Honourable Speaker, thank you, Honourable Speaker. But what I can tell you, Honourable Speaker, is that we have been supporting the police in all their initiatives to go after drug traffickers, Honourable Speaker. And I can tell you again, Honourable Speaker, that the members will also know that 86% of the supply that they're talking about of diluted is prescribed to the general public, often seniors, to deal with pain, Honourable Speaker. That's where a lot of that supply can also come from. So what I will...
Members, you're all members. And members, for Sari Sos, you're author of the report we just tabled. Please.
14.
Please conclude.
14% of the hydromorphone is on the safe supply side. The bulk of it is part and parcel of the general prescriptions that take place in the province of British Columbia, Honourable Speaker. And so, Honourable Speaker, again, I appreciate the questions from the member. I appreciate, what they're trying to do. But the reality is this. Police are doing everything they can to deal with the situation, and as I have said a moment ago, and clearly they don't like to hear, Honourable Speaker, is that police themselves have said there is no evidence to suggest there is widespread diversion of safe supply drugs in our province.
The bell ends the question period.